Good evening, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the webcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We're back Wednesday evening, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, maybe. But here we are. How are you doing, Barry?
Yes, I'm doing good. How are you, my brother?
Well, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I had a really nice surprise today. I was sitting in my...
What was that?
Yeah, I was sitting here in my room this morning and just thinking about things and so on. And I heard a little voice behind me. And I turned around and there was my grandson, my son-in-law, my daughter, and my other grandson. And they'd come to visit. It was a big, big surprise. For me, at least. Fiona knew all about it, but it was a great surprise. It made the day all right.
Well, and if I may add to that, that the reason why there is a surprise for Mark is that, you know, he did celebrate. He's got a couple big milestones that he's April is a pretty big month for him. And of course, that it was his first one was his transition out of accountancy into full time and doing what he does, and whatever that's going to look that. But just to let everybody know, as history is written, this is Mark's last webcast in his 50s. He is shifting to a Friday. And so I just encourage everybody to, in the comments, even to wish. I mean, it's early, but you know, it's better early than we forget. I won't forget, Mark. I promise. I'll write it on my hand right now. Yeah. But yeah, so he's turning the big 6-0 on Friday, and so I've been just a little bit ahead of him, and John McDonald is just a little bit ahead of him. And so as the three amigos of the webcast that we've done in the past, we just want to officially welcome Mark into the 60s club.
So well, I appreciate that. Barry. Thank you. It's only a number, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that happens.
Well,
that's
on. That's what you say now. Like when he wakes up on Friday at his birthday, I said everything's changing. Like you just wake up, you know, the blues in the sky are bluer, you know, the oranges and the sun rises and sunsets are oranger. It's just lovely.
So you're speaking from experience, of course.
Yes.
So yes, and then on Friday night we're having a virtual dinner party. This is the plan. It still is the plan. But I'd invited all my children to join us for a virtual dinner party on Friday, and I told them to tell me what they wanted, where I could order it from, and I was going to order them a meal to be delivered. So we all had something delivered at the same time. And then we were going to set up the big screen in the dining room and have our dinner party by Zoom. We're still doing that because two of my daughters are not coming home, and our son lives with us. So we can still do that. And we're very fortunate that we're able to bubble. We can have a bubble with our daughter and his son-in-law, which is why they're allowed to come. So we're very fortunate with that. So I'm enjoying the party. It kind of feels like it's started. And I have to say, on Friday morning, I know some of you will think this is a little bit sad, but when I left the office at the end of March, I was told I had to come back on my birthday. And they said, come back on Friday the 30th of April. You can do your tax returns, they said, on using the software in the office. And I thought, well, why would anyone want to do their tax return on their birthday? You know, just like, you know, come on. And I know some of you in the UK, you'll wait till the 29th of January next year before you do your tax return, you know, on the deadline. But I do like to get mine in early. But, you know, my birthday was not exactly the priority day to do my tax return. So, but they were very, very insistent. come back on the 30th of April. And then they did say there will be cake involved. So it will actually take me about half an hour to do my tax returns. But cake and coffee with my old colleagues is a definite pull. And there might be some cake left over I can bring home for my grandboy, grandkids.
Yeah, so that's I think that they might expect that.
Indeed. So that's kind of how the weekend is shaping up a little bit. So
yeah.
Thank you for your greetings, folks.
Yeah, so we're cheering you on, mate. And, you know, it's just bigger and better things in the 60s. All right, it's going to be fantastic. Is there any announcements, anything going on in the next little while?
Well, we did. Was it last week? Did we do the seminars together last week? We did, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Not this week, but the week. Yeah.
A week ago or so, Barry and I did the first part of our seminars called Embraced. And the second part of the seminars, The Embrace of Comfort, I'm doing with Wynette on the 17th and 18th of May. So you can join us for those. Really looking forward to that. I mean, such an important topic, comfort, and something we really don't talk about very often, something we certainly don't receive. So you can sign up for those seminars on my website, afathertoyou.com/embraced. And if you missed the first part of the seminars and want to join us for the second, but you would like to have the links for the first part, I'll send you them as well. So come and join us. It'll be great fun. And it will do our hearts a lot of good.
Yes, and just for me to add to that, you know, with Wynette and Mark, and just how they carry this revelation of comfort in their beings, that it is something that, you know, as Mark said, we don't really talk a lot about it in as far as a lot of teaching and just kind of mainstream Christendom. But I tell you, it's such an important topic because we all need comfort. You know, we all think that, you know, we can, you know, big boys don't cry. Then after six, you're good to go. You don't need any comfort, but, you know, comforted. So, yeah, please do keep that in mind for sure. Anything else that we need to talk about?
Not from me, my friend. Anything from you?
Oh, not. Tomorrow I'm speaking in South Korea. Yay, the church. So, again, this is one of the one technology at 7 a.m. in the morning. And next week I'll be at the School of Ministry again online in Toronto all week. And we'll be having again. Make the best of the situation, right? When you can't see people in person.
Yeah.
You just do what you can. So, yeah, that's about it for me. And, you know, I'm just trying to follow up with the celebrations that you're having these days. But, you know, I'm just feeling so glad that you allow me just to watch from a distance.
If we didn't have these travel restrictions, my friend, I'm sure the distance might be a bit brought together. Shorter.
Yes, absolutely. I might be there eating some cake on Friday too.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So should I bring the introduction for today?
Yeah, you do that.
Our dear friend Mark Jide, in his 50th year for the last time, the 50th decade for the last time, not the 50th year.
Not my 50th decade.
You know what I mean. I really messed up. See, this is the last time you'll get me to do an introduction ever again. So, Mark, I was trying to do it like, you know, a prize fighter.
Yeah, I know.
Ladies and gentlemen. You know, actually, one of the – I don't know if you've ever had this happen, Mark, but I actually was a circus ringmaster for one circus event. Have you ever had that happen?
No.
I'm just asking. It means nothing to anything that I'm saying right now, but I came in on an elephant and da 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 da, and he came in and all the clowns were juggling and everything else, and I was the master of ceremonies. Anyways, you wouldn't know it by my introduction. But Mark is going to be talking about walking as Jesus walked, and I'm just so looking forward to that, because of course the calling of the Christian life is to be conformed into the image of the Son. And so I just want to open it in prayer, and then we will, you know, just pray that God will prepare our hearts. So, Father, we thank you that he who has begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you that it is your desire and your plan and your purpose and your power that transforms us into the image of Jesus. Help us to, just receive that, and just that would just the faith of the Son of God just rise up in us and say yes and amen, that it's not our work, but it's the love of God and the power of God that is at work within us. And so, Father, would you just open our hearts to receive tonight, and that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And I just pray a blessing on Mark as he shares for clarity, and just to be able to articulate, to describe the indescribable that is on his heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Mady. I'll bring you back when I run out.
All right. Sounds good.
So many of you will have heard me talk about this before, walking as Jesus walked. I'm really struck by this, because I think this is what sonship is really all about. And I've talked about this a number of times. I've talked about this on the webcast a number of times. I want to come at it from slightly differently today, because I have this theory, which I think is correct, that the Bible is written for our everyday lives. It's written for us in the here and now. I don't actually think the Bible is describing necessarily, I mean, it does describe our life when we're in heaven, but it's not written as a handbook on how to cope with heaven, because all will be revealed and we will be made whole and there'll be no more sadness and sorrow, and you know, he will wipe all our tears away and all that sort of thing. But I think the Bible's written for us, for the here and now. It's written for us today. And so when the Bible says, when John writes in his letter, 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6, where John says, if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. See, when it says that, I think that must therefore be possible. It must be possible for you and me to walk as Jesus walked. You know, it's not something that's impossible. It's a challenge. It's, of course, it's a challenge. And of course, it's something that doesn't come automatically to us. But the fact that we're given that as an exhortation, as an encouragement, tells me that it must be possible. And I really do believe it's possible for us to walk as Jesus walked. And I want to look at that this evening, today, together. And, you know, if you've heard me talk about this before, you know, and I've said it and I'll say it again today, walking as Jesus walked is not doing what Jesus did. You know, it's not writing a list of all those miracles in the Gospels and trying to work through them, ticking them off one by one. It's not that, because if we did that, if we wrote the list and we stuck it on our fridge with a fridge magnet and we started to tick them off, we wouldn't be doing very well. You know, we certainly wouldn't be getting through the list, and that list would be on the fridge and we'd be very, very discouraged by it. But you see, walking as Jesus walked is not doing what Jesus did. And, you know, actually, you know, Jesus said at the end of his life, he said, you know, you will do greater things than I've done. And I kind of think, well, that's fine, Jesus, but I wouldn't mind doing some of the things you've done, let alone the greater things, you know. But Jesus says, you know, you would do what I've done, but you would do greater things. And it's not about what we do. It's not about doing what Jesus did. Walking as Jesus walked is having the same heart as Jesus had. And The heart that Jesus had was simply to walk in relationship with his Father. It was simply to say, Father, what do you want me to do today? Jesus had those moments of quiet and stillness with his Father. And I'm sure when he was with his Father at the beginning of the day, he'd say, Dad, what's the plan? What are we doing today? And he only said what he heard his Father saying. See, that's walking as Jesus walked. It's walking in relationship with the Father. It's walking in unity with the Father. It's walking in oneness with the Father. It's walking, you know, we are in Christ. And so for us to walk as Jesus walked, we just live in Christ. The very beginning of John's first letter, the first four verses, he says this. He says, this was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This is what we're talking about, John says. The life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim it to you as eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. We write this to make our joy complete. You see, John is describing there a relationship. He says, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it. You know, he's not writing to us about a new set of rules or regulations. He's not telling us what we've got to do or not do. He's simply saying, this is what it's been like from the beginning. And John, he wrote this letter when he was an old man. He'd been through a lot. And, you know, he was the disciple that leant against Jesus's chest. He was the disciple that wrote about love. He wrote about this love relationship, and here he is at the end of his life, and he says, this is what it's been supposed to be like from the beginning. We've seen it, we've touched it, we've heard about it, and this is what we're telling you about. You know, John's saying, I'm telling you about a relationship. This is what eternal life is. Eternal life is walking with the Father. And John is saying, why don't you come in? Why don't you join me? You know, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus. And we want you to have that same fellowship. We want you to have that fellowship with us. We want you to step into this amazing relationship with the Father, where you too can see something. You too can hear something. You too can touch something. This is the word of life. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're telling you about. This is not impossible, John is saying. This is possible for you to live in and for you to enjoy and for you to walk in. And John says, if you live like this, it will make my joy complete. And I just find this an amazing passage, because we need to read the scriptures in the context of relationship. You know, I think one of the biggest transformations for me over the past few years is really, really beginning to read the scriptures, read the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, in the context of relationship. Because that's what it was written for. It's a love letter. You know, we can read it as an orphan, and we can see it as do this and don't do that, and live like this and don't live like this, and it can become very hard, very dry and very dusty and very miserable, and like many of us have experienced. But when we read the scriptures in the context of relationship, it brings life to our heart. And I simply want to say that I really believe it's possible for us to walk as Jesus walked, for us to have that experience of seeing and hearing and touching. I don't pretend it's easy all the time. I don't necessarily pretend it's natural for us to do, but I do believe it's possible. I do believe there are challenges that we face, that are challenges, but I believe it's possible for us to walk as Jesus walked. I believe it's possible for us to have that same experience of seeing and touching and hearing. And what I want to do today is just encourage us that it is possible, that you can see and you can hear and you can touch, you can experience. John writes in 1 John 4:16, he has a three-word statement, which is probably one of the most powerful statements in the universe. But it sums up the nature of who God is, of what God is like. And John very simply says, God is love. God is love. And he says we can know and we can rely on the love that God has for us. And those words, knowing and relying, are experiential words. We know the love of God through our experience of the love of God. It's not a theology, it's not a theory, it's not acquiring facts, it's the experience of being loved. And John says you can know the love of God. You can know that God is love. He says you can rely on the love that God has for you. You can believe in it, you can trust in it. You know that word rely, it's got a sense tied in with it of rest. Because when you really rely on something, when you really trust in something, when you really believe, you can give yourself into a place of rest. And I think John is saying you can rest in the love that God has for you. God is love. You can know it through experience. You can rest in it because you've learned to rely on it and believe in it, to trust it. Romans 5 verse 5 says God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If God is love, then God is pouring himself into your heart and my heart by the Holy Spirit. God is pouring his presence because he is love. When love is poured into our heart, God the Father is being poured into our heart. He is love. We can know through experience, and we can rely on this love. We can know that we are in him, that he is in us. You know, this is, you know, there's so many times in John 14, John 15, 16, 17, Jesus says, you know, you are in me and I am in my Father and my Father is in me. And you kind of get confused as to who is in who. But the beautiful thing is we are in Christ and Christ is in the Father and the Father is in Christ. And that means the Father is in us. And this is the unity. This is the oneness. When John talks about us walking as Jesus walked, he's talking about us living in that unity and that oneness with the Father, the same unity and the same oneness that Jesus himself lives in. When we live in Christ, Jesus came, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. You know, when we live in him, we live in the truth. We live in the truth of who Jesus is. We live in the truth of who God is. We live in the truth of who we are. And Jesus says in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, that if we know the truth will set us free. And, you know, I really believe that this is such an important key for us in discovering our freedom. That if we live in love, if we live in the substance of love, if we live in the experience of love, if we are relying on love, then we are living in the truth. And that truth will set us free. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I think freedom is our inheritance. Jesus was free. And if we walk as Jesus walked, we're going to grow in freedom. We're going to live in freedom. That freedom's going to grow and multiply in our hearts. And if the Son sets us free, that's real freedom. You know, we chase after freedom because something in our heart longs for it. And very often we're not satisfied. But when we find the true freedom, when we find that the Son of God has set us free, we're free indeed. See, to me, this is what walking as Jesus walked is like. It's walking in freedom. It's growing in freedom. See, freedom and rest are our inheritance, and freedom and rest go together. The more free we are, the more we will live in rest. And the more rest we have, the more our hearts will become free. And Satan is our enemy. And Satan is an orphan. He does not understand what rest is. He does not understand what freedom is. And he tries to steal our rest. He tries to steal our freedom, because if he can steal our rest and if he can steal our freedom, he knows that he draws us back into that orphan-hearted way. He knows he draws us back into a kingdom of fear, which is all about punishment, which is all about doing the right thing and behaving the right way and trying to be the right person, and has robbed us of the inheritance of living as the free sons and daughters of the Father. And when we walk as Jesus walked, we will walk in freedom. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And so, you know, my encouragement today is let's just begin to walk as Jesus walked. You know, it's like in John chapter 8, it also says that Jesus is talking, and he says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He says, a servant does not belong to the family. A servant has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. You see, when we walk as Jesus walked, when we discover this freedom, we're brought into this place of rest, but it's a place of belonging. And we know that we've come home. See, I think Jesus lived his whole life knowing he was home. He was home in the Father's heart. And as we walk as Jesus walked, we will know that we belong. We belong in the Father's heart. We found home. And, you know, when you find home, you found home. It just changes everything for you. You know, people trying to find that place of belonging, that trying to find that place of identity, that place of rest, that still, quiet, secure place. You know, when our hearts come home to the Father, when we know that he's our dad, and when we know that we're his son or his daughter, we can say, I'm home. I belong. All is well. It's that place of quiet rest. As we walk as Jesus walked, as freedom grows in our heart, John 10 verse 10 says we will begin to experience the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. You know, he promises us abundant life, not just life, not just getting through, not just survival, but abundant life, life in all its fullness. And when we walk as Jesus walked, we will begin to experience more of that life. Jesus said in John 10 verse 30, I and the Father are one. And the more we walk as Jesus walked, the more we will become one with the Father. It's not a vain promise, it's the truth of how much the Father loves us. He says, my son, my daughter, I love you. I want to be one with you. You know, I want to be united. I want to be living in you. I want you to live in me just as my son Jesus is in me and I'm in him. You know, we're drawn into that oneness and that unity. And it doesn't stop. We go on discovering more and more how much the Father loves us. And he's made us one with his son, but he's made us one with himself. You know, that's the amazing thing. It's not just that we're one with Jesus and we get the Holy Spirit to help us get through. But he says, no, I've made you one with me. So just as Jesus is united with the Father, so are you and I. We are united. We are one with the Father. This one I don't get my head around much. I'm trying to understand what it means. But Jesus said, I have brought glory to you, Father. Now, Father, glorify your Son. So Jesus is saying, Father, I've brought you glory. But he also says, Father, will you give me glory? And if we are in Christ, if we are living in Christ, if we are one with Christ, then that glory coming from the Father to the Son is glory that comes from the Father to you and me. And, you know, I ask myself, what does that mean? What does that look like? You see, and I think in simple terms, in very, very simple terms, but I understand simple terms. In simple terms, when Jesus says, Father, I have glorified you on earth, I think what he's saying is, Father, I've made you look good. I've made you look good. I'm proud of you, Dad. I've made you, you know, I've wanted to give a good impression of what you're like. And Jesus says, now, Father, will you glorify me? Will you make me look good? You know, not for his own grandeur, but just so that God is reflected in him. And I think, you know, I think the Father wants to make us look good. Not because of what we've done, not because of what we do, not because of what we achieve. But I think the Father wants to make us look good because we're his sons, his daughters. You know, we're made in his image. He looks upon us like he looks upon his son Jesus. And he says, Mark, you are my beloved son. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. Barry, you are my beloved son. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. You see, he's making us look good. And it's Jesus hadn't done anything. This was right at the beginning of his ministry. And the Father says, Son, you're the best. And I think when Jesus says, Father, glorify me, you know, when we live as sons, when we walk as Jesus walked, he wants to bring glory to us, not because of what we've done, but simply because of who we are. When Moses asked to see God's glory in Exodus 33, he saw the nature and personality of God. The Lord is gracious, he is compassionate, he is kind, he is slow to anger, he is rich in mercy. You see, he asked to see the glory of God and he saw the nature and the personality of God expressed in love. And we see from Jesus' life that he wants to do the same. He wants the Father to be glorified so that we can see the nature and the character and the personality of the Father. But Jesus also says, now, Father, glorify me. And this is something I don't fully get my head round, but I believe the Father wants to just shine his affirmation and his blessing and his goodness and his kindness on us so that the things that are hidden he wants to bring out of his sons and daughters, he wants to show us off to the world. See, that's what I think Jesus was saying when he said, Father, glorify me. Now glorify me. You know, the Father was only too delighted to show off the Son to the world. And I believe he wants to do that for us. In John 17, verse 24, Jesus prays. He says, Father, I want them to know that they are with me where I am. See, this is Jesus' final prayer. It's his final words. And here he is, he's praying for us. In the Bible, it says, you know, this is not just a prayer for the disciples. It's a prayer for all those who follow afterwards, which is you and me. And Jesus says, my heart, Father, is that they would be with me where I am. And where is he? He's at the bosom of the Father. He's at the side of the Father. He's in the embrace of the Father. He's in the Father's embrace. And Jesus says, I long for you to be there too. And as we walk as Jesus walked, we can find that same place with the Father, that place of intimacy and closeness of oneness, where we are held in his embrace. And of course, the last verse of John 17, Jesus says, Father, may they know that they're loved like I'm loved. See, I think the more we walk as Jesus walked, the more we know we're loved. The more we live in the experience of love, the more we experience it. The more we see, the more we touch, the more we hear, that love grows in us and it overflows out of us. And we live in love. You see, to walk as Jesus walked is very, very simple. It's just living in love. It's allowing God not only to be a father to us, but it's allowing God to father us. And that's what he wants to do. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I think that's an important transition. I no longer call you disciples, but I call you friends. And then after the resurrection, he said to Mary, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to my God and their God, my Father and their Father. He takes us from being disciples or servants to being friends. And he takes us from being friends to being brothers, where we have the same Father. And to me, that is quite simply what walking as Jesus means, is that we live in love. We walk in love. We allow love to be the hallmark of our lives. We allow God to be a father to us. We allow God to father us. You know, yeah, I say all of this and maybe it sounds easy, but I know there are challenges. I know there are things that come that hit us and knock us and we kind of question. But this is, I believe, the reality of our walk as sons and daughters, is that we walk as Jesus walked. And I don't think John is making an impossible job. I think he's simply saying you too can see it, you can hear it, you can touch it, you can know it through experience, you can rely on it because it's trustworthy. It's not something that, we don't have to rely on something that we're creating ourselves, because that's dependent on how we feel on any day. We're relying on the steadfast love of the Lord, which never changes. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, we can rely on his love for us. We can trust in his love for us. And that is the thing that motivates us and causes us to walk in his ways and to walk as sons and daughters. John says in John chapter 1, verse 12, those who believe have been given the right to become children of God. And my friends, I want us to take up that right and live as sons and daughters, knowing that we're loved. John's not giving us something that's impossible in his letter. He's showing us the experience of many years. And he's saying, folks, this is my experience. This is what it's been like for me. And it can be like it for you. It can be the same for you. You too can see, touch and hear. You too can live in the experience of being loved. 1 John 4:17 says something. Says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And then he makes this incredible statement. And in the NIV, it says this, in this world, that's today and tomorrow, in this world, everyday life, in this world, we are all like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. You know, we have the same standing before the Father as Jesus does. And I read that yesterday, verse 17. I thought, I've never seen that before. In this world, we are like Jesus. And I thought, oh, yes, I'm a son like Jesus. I can walk as Jesus did because I'm like him. And that's really the encouragement. I'm going to bring Barry back on in a second, but that's really the encouragement I have for us today, is that this is not an impossibility, but this can be a living reality for you and me, that we are like Jesus, and like Jesus walked in love and lived in love, we too can walk in love and live in love. So Barry, my friend, you are welcome to add anything you want to.
That was amazing, Mark. Thanks for sharing it. It's just, I think it just, if we try to understand it with our adult intellect and our rational mind, it's just too big.
Yeah.
Right? It's just too big. And for when we try to think about being conformed into the image of Jesus as a set of principles that we try to copy his works, we're just totally missing the point. But it's so amazing to think that when Jesus prayed in the high priestly prayer in John 17, I and them, Father, and you and me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So thanks, mate. That was very good.
Yeah. It seems so big, but yet it's actually, you know, Jesus is saying this is doable. This is possible.
Well, because it's already his work, right?
Exactly.
I think oftentimes we struggle with the idea of understanding our union with Jesus. Like,
yes.
You know, Paul saying in Galatians 2:20, no longer I that lives. I don't live anymore, but it's Christ that lives in me. Yet I live, but Christ lives in me. And it's just this idea that when we begin to understand our union with Jesus has given us union with the Father, then we don't, like, it's nothing to strive for, because it's our birthright, you know. And then, you know, like you said, and you said it so well, that, you know, that it just sets our heart at rest, because we don't have to try to be like Jesus, because we are like Jesus.
Like him. Yes.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this today, and just thinking, you know, Father, this is just, it's such a different way of walking. It's a different way of living. And you know, I was preparing this yesterday, actually, and just looking at some of these verses and thinking, this is incredible. What a gift, what a joy. And it takes the striving away, it takes the pressure away, but it brings us back to the center. You know, Paul says in Ephesians that we are rooted and grounded in love. And I just think that's the key, is that we're rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah.
We're planted in love, another translation says. And it's like, you know, when you're planted in love, when the plant gets the nutrients from the soil, right? So when we're planted in love, our life gets the nutrients, the energy, the source of life, the thing that's going to sustain us. We get that from love.
Yeah.
Because we're planted in love. We're planted in love. And it's like love becomes the thing that energizes us, sustains us, you know, gives us all the energy we need. It's kind of like, wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's what makes it good news, eh?
It's good news, isn't it? Yes, it is good news.
Well, do you think maybe you could pray for people who maybe, and again, this could be all of us too, right? But just in one way, shape, or form, we've thought about the job of being, doing the works of Jesus, or copying the works of Jesus, or, you know, like in our life, we've been taught that, and it just, you know, just wears us out, right? So
yeah. Yes.
I was wondering if we could maybe pray into that.
Yeah, maybe. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the Father wants to do something in our hearts today. I think maybe we get discouraged and we think, how is it, you know, how can this be? Is it really as easy as Mark and Barry have made it sound? I feel like, I was just thinking about this afternoon, I feel like the Father wants to do something in our hearts so that, in a sense, he wants to bring our hearts home again.
Yeah.
To that place of love, that place of belonging, that place of acceptance. Because, you see, everything I've talked about tonight comes out of the Father saying, you're my son, I love you. And I believe the Father wants to bring us back to that place, to show us that we are rooted and grounded in love, that we are established in love. And so I want to invite you to just very simply, to the extent that you can, to open your heart. Even if it's like, Father, I like the idea of that, but I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but I want it. Because that to me is just like an open heart, you know. And I just want to invite you to open your heart as much as you can. And, you know, don't make this too big. This is just living in the embrace of the Father. You know, you don't have to go to the mission field tomorrow. You just live in the embrace of the Father. And so, Father, I just ask you to come. I thank you that you're here, Father. Father, I thank you that John, the Apostle John, got to the end of his life and all he has is an experience of being loved. All he has is the experience of love. He's seen it, he's heard about it, he's touched it, he's lived in it. He knows that we can know this love, that we can rely on this love, because he's proved it. And Father, I ask that you would just pour your love into our hearts. You'd pour yourself into our hearts. And that you would come and love us. That we would live in the experience of being loved right now. Being held in your arms, Father, and just knowing we're loved. Father, may we have an encounter with your love right now. That whatever our day's been like, whatever's been going on, Father, that you would just press the pause button in our life. Cause us to step back from all of that activity and just allow ourselves to soak in the unconditional, freely given love that you're so generously pouring into our hearts right now. John writes at the beginning of chapter 3 of his letter, see what kind of love the Father has lavished on us. See how great the love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God, for that is who we are. And Father, you haven't just turned a little trickle of love, you haven't just turned a drip of love, but you've pulled out a great cascade and torrent that you're pouring into our hearts right now. It's the Niagara Falls of love. It's the Niagara Falls of love. You're pouring it into our heart right now. And so, Father, I just ask you to lavish your love on us.
Yeah.
You'd lavish your love on us. Thank you, Father.
Mm.
Just lavish that love on us.
Mm.
And our hearts would receive all that you want to do.
Yes, Abba.
Thank you, Father.
Now, Father, we just... Father, we ask that, you would just give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in a deeper way that already resides in us, but that the eyes of our hearts would be truly opened. Wow. Mm. Even right now, Father, that we would see ourselves from your perspective, from heaven's perspective, from the reality of the kingdom of the Son of your love.
Mm.
Oh, Father, the finished work of Jesus was so complete and so full that we could never add anything to what Jesus did on a cross 2,000 years ago when he died and was buried and rose again, and he declared coming out of the tomb, "Go tell my brothers that I'm returning to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father." When we were born again into the kingdom of God, it's a sealed deal forever, Father. We are yours. We are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, and Jesus is in you, Father, and you are in us, and we are sealed with the bond of love. Father, anything in us that has felt like we've been disqualified or we've been inadequate, that we just aren't good enough, or we aren't disciplined enough, and we beat ourselves up, or we've compared ourselves with other people. Father, I just pray by the power of your Spirit that freedom would come just to sink into the eternal reality of our identity as beloved sons and daughters to Yahweh.
Yeah.
Joint heirs with Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, even in this moment, when we are on planet Earth and we know that in this world we will have troubles, but at the same time, the biblical reality is that we are seated at the right hand of God, hid in Christ with God. So we ask, Father, that you would just awaken just our union with Jesus.
Yeah.
Which has secured us union with the Godhead. Not because we've done anything, but because of your great love. Oh, Father, we just, it can almost seem too good to be true, but this is the simplicity of the gospel message.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we just ask for a deeper awakening to that today.
Yeah.
Wow. So believe this is the truth that will set us free.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Good stuff, matey.
Thanks, bro. Well, we'll be back next week. I just encourage you to live in love, to walk in love, to just let this whole thing grow within us. Amen.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking at my other screen, which tells me the video finished a number of minutes ago, but I see we're still getting comments, so it looks like it's still live. So... Thank you for joining us, and we will be back
we're
next.
We're still on.
Yeah, it's gone off on mine. But anyway, we're still on, which is good.
Okay.
But thanks for joining us, folks, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you, everybody. Bye.